December 7th, 2011, the 70th anniversary of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor during World War II. And as that date of infamy fades into time, the few remaining survivors are more valuable than ever as a resource to this history. And using them as primary sources, author Ian Told is taking a fresh look at that epic battle in his book, Pacific Crucible. Ian, thanks for joining us. By crucible, we presume you mean an important test of American might and will.
Yes, that's absolutely right. A crucible is a test or a trial, and war is interesting because it places entire societies, systems of government, and individuals under great strain. And just as a an engineer will test a new product by placing it under stress, war is unique in that it places great stress and allows us to derive information that we couldn't otherwise derive about people and individuals and governments and societies.
Well, the history we've heard over the years is that America had no real taste for getting involved in war, and certainly we saw how America responded with the military-industrial complex that sprung up since then. What new things have you found out about that period?
Well, the Second World War was, of course, a unique war in the history of our planet, and the Pacific War was the only war ever waged across the length and breadth of the greatest ocean on Earth. It was primarily a naval war, and I think there's been a misimpression that's been fed partly by popular movies and television programs that it was principally an island-hopping campaign. And what I really set out to emphasize was that this war was above all a war at sea. And it was the only war which has ever been waged when the principal weapons were aircraft carriers and submarines. And because of the Industrial Revolution and the rapid increase in technology during that period, the U.S. Navy had to learn as it fought and had to learn by fighting. And so we had to ascend a very steep learning curve in just the six-month period between Pearl Harbor and the Battle of Midway.
So our Navy was nowhere near ready on December 7th.
Not at all. Not at all. You know, the fact that the eight battleships of the Pacific Fleet were knocked out of action in the first 15 minutes of the war was a cataclysm that forced the Navy to respond by essentially fighting that war in a completely different way than they had planned. And it really is remarkable that just 6 months after that devastating defeat, the Americans were able to score such a devastating counterpunch at the Battle of Midway.
Battle of Midway, one of the really famous battles from World War II. You found some lesser-known battles that you say altered the course of history.
Yes. In the early months of the war, the only weapons that Admiral Nimitz, commander of the Pacific Fleet, had in his inventory were the American aircraft carriers. And Admiral Bill Halsey, who would go on to become the face of the U.S. Navy in that war, led a series of carrier raids on some of the remote Japanese outposts of the Central Pacific. And those raids have been denigrated by historians for having little or no military value. But what they did is they awoke the Japanese commanders to the danger that the American aircraft carriers presented both to their military positions in the Pacific and ultimately to Japan itself. And that was really the germ of Admiral Yamamoto, the Japanese commander-in-chief's plan to hurl essentially the entire Japanese Navy against this little atoll of Midway, and which led to that devastating defeat in which the Japanese lost four of their largest and finest aircraft carriers.
And as you did your research 70 years after that attack on December 7th, you also included the Japanese perspective. How has time shaped the collective history?
Well, the Japanese have, I think in the past 10 to 15 years, there's been a shift in Japan and a greater willingness to discuss that very painful period of their history. Japan, after 1945, took an entirely new direction. And in many ways, there's been a syndrome, I think, in Japan of a kind of amnesia, a deliberate decision on the part of the Japanese people to try to forget what happened during that awful period of their history. And I think that there's been a detectable shift there and a greater willingness to try to examine what exactly happened and what went wrong in Japan that led them toward down that disastrous path that left their country in ruins in 1945.
Keeping History Alive, Ian Toll, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Wayne.
The book is Pacific Crucible, War at Sea in the Pacific.